To the last parable. In this parable, he shows the wisdom of God in the final separation of the hearts of men at the close of this age. And what a comfort that is to us, to know that in spite of all the imbalances you see in the world today, Jesus is going to produce perfect judgment so that the inequalities will be gone, and what is proper will be rewarded, and what is not will be judged and separated out. Let me read it. Verses 47 through 50. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. What is that net? It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the influence of the kingdom. That was cast into the sea. What is the sea? Primarily the Gentile nations of the world there, but it pictures all the nations of the world. And gathered of every kind. That means those who listen and hear and respond and come. Every kind, good and bad, they're all gathered into that net when they respond. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good fish into vessels, but cast the bad fish away. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and sever, and what a strong word that is, cut through and separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that's the way it's all going to end. Some people say, don't preach judgment to us. Listen, every significant message, with just a few exceptions, Jesus ever spoke, closed with a message of judgment. Why? Because most people insist and insist and insist on going into judgment and into hell instead of into the arms of Christ. Now, God willing, tonight, I would like to take those seven parables in the service tonight and lay them alongside the history of what we call the church, Christian profession. Because you're going to find the first parable is a period of about 100 years. The second parable is a period a little bit longer, of about 200 years. The third parable is a period of about 400 years. And then comes what's known as the devil's millennium, 1,000 years of darkness, when the woman's leaven fed into the measures of meal turned the Word of God away from the masses, and for 1,000 years people like you could not read the Bible for themselves. And I do not mean to be unkind, but I'm going to be plain. That's the 1,000-year domain of the Roman Catholic Church that history calls the Dark Ages, when they took the Bible, closed it up, bound it to the inside of a cathedral, and said, you cannot read it. And for 1,000 years, right in the middle of these periods, after parable number 4, Jesus hid himself from the multitude. For 1,000 years he was hidden. And then came the last disclosures of the building of the Jews and the church and getting ready for the end of this age. Now, I don't know how that will be taken. That gives you opportunity. But let me say this. If there's somebody on the worldly scene today who not only knows history like that, but predicted it and made it unfold according to what he said, then that's the most important person alive today. In your estimate, who is the greatest living man? Who is the greatest living man? Not a question. Jesus Christ. He is more alive than you are. Because you're dying right now, and he is alive in the power of an endless life, and he offers that power and that endless life, what he called eternal life, to you. And everything at the end for you as an individual will be determined by your response to one question. Did you let Jesus govern your life from the inside? That's what the word Lord means. Did you let him control you from the inside? And even with all your frailties and stumblings, you got back up and said, Lord, save me. And the Lordship of Christ was established again, and you let him lead you and control you from the inside. One of these days, the ways will part, and there will be but two. There will be sheep on the right side of Jesus and goats on the left. These will be brought into the pasturage of God with Christ forever. These will be turned out and separated up from all that is good,
all that is true, all that is right, all that is proper, all that is holy, all that is heavenly, all that is godly, turned out forever to live in hell because they chose it. And the ways part right here today. On which side of the Lordship of Christ are you? Sheep responding to it, or goats rejecting it? Well, I don't mean you don't do religious things. I don't mean you don't go to church. I don't mean you're not good. It doesn't depend on that at all. The Lordship of Christ, it all depends on that. You have opportunity today to respond to Jesus and let him come into your life as your Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if thou shalt confess him as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The Holy Spirit calls you today. Jesus commands you to do it publicly. That's a part of the profession, but you possess Christ when you receive him into your heart, and he commands you to seal it by a public decision. That's the reason we have an invitation. And God the Holy Spirit invites you to come, to let him have his way inside your heart today as you receive and trust Jesus to save you and be Lord of your life. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly to your feet with me, bow your heads and be in a spirit of prayer, and let the choir sing our hymn of invitation. What about you? What about you? Between you and Jesus today, are you saved or lost? I don't mean are you a church member, are you religious, have you been baptized, or are you in some church or in a religious system? I mean, is Christ Lord of your life? The Holy Spirit of God speaks to you and calls you. Would you let him have his way and come? The choir sings. You decide and do what Jesus leads you to do, whatever commitment and decision you need to make. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come and do it as he leads you today.